We've had some really wonderful times together this week, loving on people and being a church family. I had a great time celebrating Ali and Christine's wedding yesterday. That was such a great moment. And God's good. I'm just thankful for our church family and excited about this time of Advent. Next Sunday begins Advent. So the first Sunday of Advent is next Sunday. But we always try to jump in a week ahead of time to start our series to give us a chance to kind of prepare. For those of you who don't know what Advent is, Advent, it's the Latin word for arrival or coming, and it's the four Sundays before Christmas that help us prepare and remember that Christmas is really about the coming of Jesus into the world. And so Advent is a tradition in a lot of churches that help us focus not just on all the materialism and the hype of Christmas, but remind us that Jesus came into the world through that time and challenge us, what's a new way that Jesus wants to come into our world? And so that's what we do during Advent, is we try to make sure that theme is strong when everything else around us is pushing us towards all the glitz and the technology and all the materialism of the holiday. And as I was praying for this year, you know, our theme overall is everyday cornerstone in the sense of how does the Holy Spirit put Jesus in the center of our life in everyday ways. And I was praying about the Advent series, and the Lord really placed on my heart the truth that sometimes the holiday seasons, a season can really magnify what's hardest in our life. It's kind of ironic that Advent and, you know, things like Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year, the message of those that we see around us is one of peace and of new beginnings and of gifts and of family. And yet the truth is, a lot of times that is what we're struggling with during the holidays. And so they can be particularly difficult for us. And I really felt like what God wanted to do for our church family and for those that you would bring is have an Advent that reminded us that those places that can be the most hard and seem almost to be magnified during the holiday season, that those are places where the Holy Spirit can come in and bring us a joy and a peace and a hope to make this season everything that it's really supposed to be for us. Your season of Thanksgiving and going up to Christmas and New Year's, it may look very different. You might be an introverted person versus someone who's extroverted, or, you know, it may be very unique to you, but it can be filled with the promise that Jesus is with you and that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow those difficult things, and what seems impossible to you will actually become a reality in your life. And so that's the scripture text that we have for today. It's in Luke chapter 1, and it's going to start in verse 28, and I'm going to read what is on the front of your outline today. Overshadowed in an everyday way, finding the Holy Spirit's comfort during Advent. We're going to remember the story, the real story that began so long ago. And if you would, you can follow along both in your Bible, obviously on your Bible app, or just on the front of your outline. So starting in verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored." That word means, that's the word for grace. So you have grace with them right now. "The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at the angel's words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor. You have found grace with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Going down a little bit, verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." Verse 37, For nothing is impossible with God. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel had left her. Father, we pray today that your Holy Spirit would come and begin to show us the things that seem impossible for us in this Advent season about peace, about family, about, finances or gifts or expressing love or feeling hope and belonging. Lord, things that feel impossible to us, may you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, cause us to walk in the reality of them. I ask that your Holy Spirit would be with each person here, that what each person here most needs to hear, they would hear by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray, and everyone said, amen. For Mary and Joseph, the first Christmas was the exact opposite of what most of us think of during the holiday season. And that's the next slide coming up now. For Mary and Joseph, there were a few things going on. One, they were actually in great financial need during the holidays. They didn't have an abundance. Two, they were in uncertain and threatening circumstances. So they had a lot of fears. It wasn't like they were just wrapping up a great year, taking a rest for a while, and then all of a sudden they were hitting the next year. No, they were in the middle of what was unresolved in their life. Number three, the work of Jesus in their life made them very out of place and very unsupported. So the picture of the whole Advent story is really one of Mary and Joseph battling loneliness and figuring out who do we have when it seems like we have no one really around us that is with us and understands us and supports us. And then fourth, they suffered so much loss of family and of friendships through the news of Jesus coming through them, the scandal of the virgin who is with child and no one believing them. And, you know, it's ironic because Christmas is all in the world and all the holiday season is the exact opposite of all these. But the first Christmas was really all about these for Mary and Joseph. We'll go over it later, but contrary to the wise men showing up the night of Christmas to give their gifts, you know, that wasn't actually when they got them. And the news of Jesus actually did not change their financial status for a good bit. You know, they didn't know. I mean, they're in a new town. They don't have any settling. They don't have anybody who's with them. And they've left behind a lot, and there are a lot of people who are no longer part of their lives. Really, the gift of Advent and the gift of the message of Jesus is really one that faces all these things during the coming of Christ. It's not what sometimes we position it as, which is, well, none of these things are happening. And it's interesting because what the angel does is the angel says, you are highly favored. There's a grace for you in the middle of all these things. And Mary looks at her life and says, I don't feel like I have grace for this at all. How can this be? And the angel says this. The angel says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And notice, the angel doesn't say, and all the things that you have a problem with will go away. What the angel says is, the power of the Most High God will overshadow these things. And it's true that we can walk through times that maybe our circumstances are unresolved, and you're going to head into Thanksgiving and Christmas and all this time, and things are unresolved. You don't know how they're going to work out. But there is the work of the Spirit that can overshadow the fear that produces. You may be in the middle of a time and feel like nobody understands. And like one lady I talked to said, you know, Pastor Sean, if I could just go to sleep the day before Thanksgiving and wake up on January 2nd, that would be great. You know, and maybe that's how you feel coming into some of the places that you're facing right now. And yet, the Holy Spirit can come and overshadow the weaknesses of those lack of relationship or the lack of what you would like to see. And you can see something in him that is greater. And this season can have the joy that looks what it's supposed to look like for you in your life. I love it because when the power of the Holy Spirit is called for, the next moment isn't some big altar call. The next moment is a really practical way for the everyday grace of Jesus to come. And I want you to follow along because I believe in these next passages is the key to most of life and how we follow Jesus every day. And it's especially true for this time of year. What does the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to overshadow all these things that Mary and Joseph face, what does it look like? Well, number one, it looks like a promise to remember. The angel says, for nothing is impossible with God. You know, it's very important when you're struggling with your feelings and with circumstance and with fears and all those things, you need the truth of God to remember. Because if you don't focus on the truth of God, you're the enemy, sin, fear has plenty for you to think about. So if you don't want to think about those things, you need something to think about. That's right. And so that's where one of the most practical and wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit are the promises of God found in his word. Instead of me focusing how I have so much against me, I can focus on the truth that says, if God is for me, who can be against me? I give this brain something good to think about instead of letting the things that are unresolved and broken be all I think about. I don't have to live in denial about those things, but I also don't have to let those things define me. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the promises he gives. In any circumstance, in any setting, what is the promise of God to you in the midst of that? So often I'll walk with people in the middle of difficult times, and it's a joy for me to love on them and be with them, but I can't be that promise. Each of us need to hear in that tough moment, before we hear the nice words of somebody else who cares about what we're going through, what we need to hear most of all is, what is the promise of God that I can hold on to? And that's found in the scripture. Mary's given a promise to say, look, it feels impossible to you, Mary. It feels impossible for something so great and so good and so something that's going to change the world. It feels impossible that that would be your life. But nothing is impossible with God, Mary. Don't look at you, look at him. Number two, Mary's given a power to pray for. She's given a promise to remember, but she's given a power to pray for. It says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Mary, keep praying for that power. Keep praying for that power to fill your life when you start to feel weak and when you get overwhelmed and when you start thinking about the wrong thing. Ask God for a power to continue to let the Holy Spirit be the greatest thing in your life. Then I love number three. And I tell you what, a lot of times we're not good at this in church, and it's why it's so important that you just don't attend a church service, but actually share in the life. Number three, a person to be with. I want you to understand how incredibly kingdom powerful this truth is. Mary's facing an impossible thing. She doesn't know She doesn't know how to be a mom yet. She doesn't know how is God going to fulfill this impossible thing that I'm going to bear the Son of God. This is impossible. I can't do this. I don't know. And she gets a promise and she gets a power. But then the angel does something so beautiful and says, hey, by the way, you know Elizabeth? You know, she's 6 months in living in an impossible place. Because she was barren. She's not supposed to have a kid either. Just like you, Mary. And instead of just sitting here and looking at everybody else around me and thinking how nobody understands me and none of this can work and I don't see this in anybody else, the Holy Spirit gives her a relationship to say, hey, this person knows what you're going through. This person's walking in the same faith that you've got to walk in. And it's such a beautiful gift. And so often in our religiousness, and sometimes in our restlessness and our faith, you know, we want it all to be just a number one and number two. It's just, we just want a word that we're going to cling to, and we just want a power moment. And those things are beautiful, and God does those things. But guess what he does? And guess what he did for the most important promise that ever shaped the history of the world? He made sure Mary had someone to be with. And I want to encourage you. I know sometimes our problems and the things that are overwhelming us make us feel like we shouldn't be with anybody. But when the promise of God comes and when his power begins to fill us, he always brings us a person to share and help us walk in where we are. And I pray that God will give that to you during this Advent season. It may be people you already know, and it may be divine appointments of people brings into your path. But I promise you, the Holy Spirit will overshadow the difficulties through the blessings of a person to be with. And then number four, Mary has a practical step to take. We read a few verses later, she has something to do. I'm going to get up and go visit Elizabeth. I'm going to spend some time with her. And the girl who should just be running away from things actually ends up ready to face the very village that she should, you know, probably just avoid. And I don't know about you, but this is how it really looks for the Holy Spirit to overshadow fears and finances, loneliness and loss. This is the dynamic, powerful work of the Holy Spirit. We live in a world that for the next few weeks, and has already started, is going to tell you that, you know, you can't have a good Christmas without spending tons of money. And don't worry, we've got a great layaway plan and a great credit card that only charges about 75% interest. So you'll be great. And you know what? You're just not going to have a good Christmas if you don't have certain things. You know, if you're looking at this and your finances are certain, what are you going to do? You know, we look at retailers and travel companies and airlines and even Folgers Coffee, that's going to tell us we've all got to have a certain family feel for the holidays. And, well, if you don't have that, then what are you going to do? We look at a place that says it's all about a perfect setting. And yet, that's not what Mary and Joseph had at all. And so what I want to do this Advent series is I want to go through all of these different challenges. And in honor of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I'm going to do finances first, because that's about to come up. And I just want to take a moment to look at them, look at the issue of lack of finances, and look at money during the holidays in a really practical way, but not a way that's devoid of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you a hope and a joy and a focus to how to go through Advent. With a joy maybe that you've never had before. So we're going to look at this together, overshadowing a lack of finances. When we look at this issue of finances, there's a promise to remember, there's a power to pray for, there's people to be with, and there's some practical steps. And so before we talk about them, you just have to realize one thing, and it's the next slide there that you were on. And you just need to remember that the greatest good news and the greatest joy to all the world had absolutely nothing to do with money, okay? Now, again, pop Christian culture says that, yeah, because on Christmas night, the wise men came and loaded Mary and Joseph up with a lot of money. And that's not true. You know, most biblical scholars would tell you that the wise men didn't come anywhere between, it was either 18 months to anywhere between 18 months to 36 months before the wise men showed up and gave them all that money. All right? So the greatest transforming, real Jesus really showed up. He really did everything he said. He's really here. He's really with me. Had nothing to do with money. And we see that. I think it's, I don't know if we have those other scriptures there. But if you look at Luke chapter 2, when Joseph and Mary come to present Jesus at the temple, they give the offering of a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And in Leviticus 12, we actually read that what they were supposed to give was a lamb. But if you don't have enough money, you give the doves. So Jesus is born to Mary and Joseph, and there's no change in their financial status. They're just still kind of eking by for a while. Now, God's got a plan, doesn't he? He's going to send the people and the timing. But, you know, we don't need to look at Christmas, and we don't need to look at this Advent season and think it's all about money, because it's not. The greatest joy, the greatest peace that ever came had nothing to do with it. And we need to remember that God can birth great joy and great peace, and it doesn't have to come by buying the most expensive thing out there. So what's the promise to remember? The first is this. Jesus said it, and it's the next slide. Jesus said it. Oh, hey, by the way, my picture's up there already. That's the world's largest gummy worm. Because everybody needs a gummy worm as big as your colon. I mean, that's just, wow. God bless America for producing that. I was in the store the other day, right? And this thing's like 10 pounds. I'm like, who needs this? Yeah. But, you know, in the world we live in, more is better, right? So if I can have a gummy worm that's this big, a gummy worm this big really makes my life so much better, right? I was like, I got to take a picture of that. That's crazy. So here, what the world is going to tell you to remember is this. It's all about the things, right? It's all about the stuff. You know, big gulp? Who needs a big gulp? Get a double big gulp because that's so much better. I mean, it's just funny, the world we live in. And if you honestly think about it, the only way the world thinks you make something better is by doing what? More. Okay? And it's in our... And I'm not saying pieces of it aren't right, but it's in everything. You know, are you good at soccer? Well, you need more of it, so you should be on travel team. All right, are you good in travel team? Well, you need more than that, so now you should go to that tournament. It's just like everything's more. The only way things get better in your life is do more. Of course, there's a problem. You can only have so much more in your life. And for every more you add, you take away something else. So the whole philosophy of how the world says to make life better actually doesn't work. Because if you want to make this part of your life better so you do more there, well, you got to take away here. And that's where you get the guy who has his career and he's always making better by doing what? More. And by taking on what? More. And by, you know, trying out for what? More. And then what does his family get? Less and less and less. The very premise of what the world says is how you make your life better absolutely doesn't work. It actually destroys your life. And Jesus says this in Luke 12:15. He says, watch out and be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And you and I need a fresh reminder of that as we're about to enter into the season we're in. It's beautiful when the gifts we give are an expression of grace and love and do things that refresh us. But you and I need to remember, and we need to kind of make a fresh commitment to it before all of this begins, that life is not about the abundance of things. That we need to remember. Jesus said it, I don't have a slide for it, but Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, he said, the Spirit alone gives life. Things don't bring life. The Holy Spirit brings life. And we need to remember that. Now, there's a power to pray for as well. And it's the next slide here. And it's found in Timothy. The first sentence is all you need to remember, but I want you to hear the rest of it. But godliness with, what's that next word? Contentment is great gain. You know what the power you need to pray for during this Advent season is? You need to pray for the power of contentment. Because Paul says there's great gain in having that kind of power in your life. And notice the rest of the verse. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It's ironic that we're going to have Thanksgiving where we spend the time to remember all that we're thankful for. And now, thanks to Walmart and Macy's and all those, we're not even going to finish the day before we start thinking about what we don't have. We're not even going to finish the day. Because Thanksgiving's about being thankful for what I have, and then it's all about what I need to get next. You know, Paul said it this way. He said, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance." Philippians 4, starting at verse 11. "For I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Anybody know what his secret is? Next line. "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." We need to remember the promise. We need to pray for a power of contentment that sees this season the right way and doesn't get out of whack. And then number three, we need to have a person to be with and to give to. Oh, my daughter's up there. Okay, sorry. Sorry, I didn't warn my kids they were going to be in the slideshow. It's kind of a last-minute idea. But, you know, we need to remember that this season is about people. Now, all of us say that, but then we don't live it out very well. We need to remember that the source of this is that God is with us and with others. And I think there are a few pictures up there. There's a few other pictures in there. Do we have another one? Oh, there you are. That was the marathon. That's hanging out. And then that's what Travis's favorite activity. We're eating together. And I just think, you know, this Advent, I want to do a good job. And I want to create Advent to be more about the people I'm with than the things I'm getting. One of the traditions we have in our families, we do the 12 days of Christmas. And what we do is every day leading up to Christmas, 12 days ahead, we actually do something as a family that kind of celebrates. Now, sometimes between chorus concerts at school and Christmas parties at church, I mean, we got to get a little creative in making it happen. But we will actually take time to make sure every day we're doing what Advent really is all about, which is people to be with. And so whether it's... you know, whether it's doing the tacky light tour and finishing up at you know where, Krispy Kreme, that's right, or you know, or if it's just reading, you know, just having a moment where we pray for a family, we do a day where we end up going to all our neighbors and giving them something, like Sarah and the kids will bake some food, and they all look to us like, "Who are you and what are you doing?" You know, and just we're not used to our neighbors actually talking to us, like, "Hey, how's it going?" But it's about people to be with. And I want to encourage you this Advent to work harder at being with people than getting the Christmas shopping list done. Part of it is a person to give to, and you see that in Elizabeth. I mean, Mary goes and is with Elizabeth and serves her and gives to her. And this next slide is what is on page 3 of your newsletter. If you want to turn there, and you can go to the next slide. We're going to do our Advent offering. We're going to do it on December 15th. What date are we going to do it on? Okay, we're going to take the offering then. And what we do at Cornerstone is we take a big, big offering so that the gift of Jesus might be born in other people who don't have him. Just like Jesus came and was born among us, we do an offering so that people that don't know Jesus can come to know him. And so we always pick some projects that we believe will be a place that Jesus comes to. So what we're going to do, number one, so we do around the corner, around the world. We always do a little bit of both. We're going to do for the computer lab for Shady Hill. We're getting a new double-wide trailer in Shady Hill. The Thanksgiving meal last week was so great. And thank you for all of you who came. And what we're going to do is we want to raise at least $7,000 so that we can install a computer lab in there for all the kids of the community that would be run by our ministries. And so we're praying that you're going to be part of that. Every day begins with Jesus community outreach for Lent this year. I'm going to challenge all of us not just to give up coffee, chocolate, and caffeine, but what I'm going to ask you to give up is I'm going to ask you to give up 15 to 30 minutes in your morning. And I'm going to ask you to give up the first thing you do in the morning, that it be Jesus. And whatever else is there, you give that up for Lent. And we're going to do something. I've been writing a devotional book called Every Day Begins with Jesus. And we're going to do that for Lent. And what we want to do is when we get to that, we want to give copies of that book, not only to you, but give them to your coworkers, neighbors, and invite them to do it with you as well. It's going to be a 40-day Lenten series. So we got to raise money to produce the books for that. Our youth ministry and children's ministry is growing just a lot. So we need some help in expanding there, so we want to do a little something for them as well. Around the world, we're expanding not only from a double-wide trailer in Shady Hill, but from a low-level to a medium-level clinic in Dire Dawa, Ethiopia. And that's going to require us to buy a lot more medical equipment. So we're hoping to raise at least $8,000 for that. This August, we're going to send our first group of nurses to Ethiopia along with me and the team to do our first education campaign in the village. So we want to defray some of the expenses because an airline ticket to Ethiopia is about $2,200 right off the bat. So we know nobody can afford that. So we're hoping we'll take some offering and help lower the price of that trip for our nurses. Of course, we want to respond to the Philippines, and Project Hope is a Christian Assemblies of God-based relief agency that's not just going to give them food and water, but it's also going to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them and also pay attention to the church needs in Philippines. And then we want to give a gift to all of our Cornerstone missionaries just to say, celebrate the birth of Christ with them. So I want to encourage you to pray about that. We're believing for at least 30,000, which would be the biggest goal we've had. We've definitely given that much in the past, but this would be a stretch for us. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I was talking to my wife a little bit about this. I remember one Christmas a long time ago. It was near the end of the year, and we had kind of been saving up to start it. Well, we had already started up like a little IRA savings account, and we had saved up a little bit to put in the IRA that year. And we had put a little in. We were hoping to put a little bit more. And it came up to our Bethlehem outreach here at Cornerstone. And Pastor Wayne, our former senior pastor, challenged us to give to it. And we took that little extra IRA money. We said, you know, this is a more eternal investment. And we were, you know, we were responsible with all the rest. We weren't doing something reckless. But we said, okay, you know what, we'd really like to give this, but we'll keep it. But we're going to give it. And that was the year that the stock market just tanked, and it would have been like if we took that money and flushed it down the toilet. And so instead of wasting it where it wasn't begun, we actually gave it and saw, you know, over 30,000 people, you know, experience the love and peace of Christ that year. And so I just want to encourage you to pray about it. I know sometimes it's hard to understand how to give, and obviously we give our tithes first and we're responsible with our finances. But I like this quote from C.S. Lewis. It's the next slide. Talking about how much to give, and obviously in prayer, he says this: I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditures on comforts, luxuries, and amusements, etc., is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we are probably giving away too little. If our giving does not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say, they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot do them because our giving excludes them. I just thought that was a nice balanced thought about how to give. I want to encourage you to begin to pray for what date are we doing the offering? December. You guys are good. And we will at that time on Christmas Sunday, we'll announce the results. So it'll be exciting. So there is a promise to remember. There's a power to pray for. What's that power to pray for? Starts with a C, contentment. Then there's people to remember to be with and to give to. And then there's some practical steps, and I want to do that. And I know we have all sorts of different economic classes in our congregation. So, you take them for what it's worth to you. But I saw some blogs on this, and I thought this was kind of a cool idea. And it's just a practical way to continue to give well and not yet necessarily give expensively. And I don't remember the author, so if you want, you can email me and I can give credit where credit is due on that. But she talked about five-hand gifts. And she said, you know, in our family, to kind of fight against the whole materialism movement, we've actually committed to five-hand gifts. And to my understanding, they do one of each of these. So here they are. Number one is handmade. And what they do as a family is they commit to making handmade gifts for each other. Now, I know all of us want one more macaroni frame, picture frame for us. And at a certain age, that's a suit. How many people? Come on, how many people ever got a macaroni picture frame? Yeah, from their kids. It's awesome. But, you know, there are things like, you know, teenagers, you could, like, burn your you could, like, make your mom or dad, like, a really cool CD mix that gives them a little bit of what they have and give them a little bit of what they need, you know, and you kind of cool them up a little bit. So just don't go radical on them right about. They're not going to be able to handle that. Go easy. Work them in, okay? You know, I mean, obviously with computers and stuff like that, there's possibility all sorts to do albums or picture frames or something like that. And then sometimes it's just great, the very handmade things we give, they're just reminders. And I know for my kids, those are the gifts years down the road I still have and use. You know, whether it's a bookmark that came from years ago, that's still in my Bible today. You know, I probably only remember what else I got that Christmas, but I remember that. And I want to encourage you, those things show we care. I mean, now, gift cards are great, and those are nice, and they're appropriate. Sometimes we just want to do something special, but obviously one of the weaknesses of gift cards, we don't really need to know somebody to give them a gift card. You know, we don't need to know who they are or where their life is at. And again, it's a very thoughtful thing to do for some people, but I want to encourage you, your whole gift strategy for everybody should not be gift card, okay? There should just be thoughts about, I know this person. I know where they're at. I know what they care about right now. And I want to do something that you can't find anyplace else because they're like nobody else. And I want to give them something that reflects that. And so that's a great gift. Number two is the hand-me-down. And obviously sometimes we think of things that aren't good condition. But what about things that are special, that are kind of like heirlooms, that are things that at some point we need to pass down to a family member that remind us a little bit about the legacy of our family, that remind us about our hopes for, hey, I went through, you know, at this stage of life, this was important to me, and I want you to have it now. And, you know, there are things like that that remind us of legacy and remind us that I'm part. There are things that's like, wow, you're giving that to me? Yeah, it's yours now. And I want to encourage you, some of those, again, I mean, I know for my grandparents especially, you know, I've got a whole set of books that my grandfather gave me that used to be in his pastoral library. And man, I love those things, you know. I mean, I got to be careful to open them because they rip so easily now. But it's like, those mean more to me than anything he could have bought me, because that was part of his life and his ministry growing up. And now I get to hold on to that in my own life. So I just encourage you with those. Number three. The second hand. Now, this is more of the game where you say, let's all make a little bit of a competition of, you know, $20 and the thrift store and see what we can do for each other. And you just say, hey, that's just part of the family deal this year. We're just going to say one of the gifts got to be this, and we're going to all see how much we can do to bless each other and kind of, you know, give a crazy gift that you would never buy any other way. But, you know, at the thrift store for this much money, absolutely, that's your gift. And I remember growing up, that my family, you know, we definitely did not have a lot of money, but it was either Goodwill or the Christmas bazaar at school, right, Lori? And you know, I remember some of the things. I mean, my parents still have some of those things, not because they were cool, but they were just so, wow, you know, thank you. But they just, all of a sudden, they became the gift that we remember years down, you know? That's like the one we still remember. And so just, you know, that's something we can do. Number four. A helping hand. There are ways that we can give. I know the Wheelings do this a lot, where instead of just giving a particular gift, they, in your name, they'll give to a charity or a donation. And those are blessed moments. And that's another moment where we take the time to know the person that we're giving to. If you know someone has a passion for teenagers, you say, hey, I'm going to give $25 to the youth ministry in your name. Or we know they have a particular passion in their heart, we can give to their cause in a way that says, hey, I recognize where your heart is, and I appreciate who you are, and I want to be part of that. I want to encourage you in believing for that to change in life. One of the things you can do, I don't know if we got a few businessmen in the group, it's not part of the Advent offering, but pretty soon we're going to be doing microfinance in Genda Tesfa. And we're going to give out the small business loans so people can start earning their own income and get them off the ground. And you could give a micro loan, $25, and say, yeah, I'm going to give that for that person to start and see God, build someone's life through that. And the last one is not on there. It's hand in hand, hand in hand. And that means you buy gifts, you plan things that you spend time together. And you just say, hey, we could just, and I want you to think about this. I mean, tech is great and it's really fun, but sometimes, I don't know about anybody else, but as a parent, I almost feel like I'm contributing to my kid not talking to me by the things I'm buying them. Right? Yeah, it's like, here's something so you can ignore me. Now, my kids are great. They never ignore me. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? It's like, and so here, let me buy you something so we'll talk less. Does that really make any sense? So what I want to encourage you to do is, now I'm not saying don't get them nice stuff, but I'm just saying maybe some of your gifts should have a little bit of a balance to them. And instead of buying all the latest technology, which is very cool and we all want it, maybe that's one gift, but maybe another gift is, hey, we're going to go visit this place, or there's that concert we're going to go to, or that play when it comes to the landmark, or whatever it is. And say, part of what I want to do is I want to give a gift that brings us together and helps us spend time together. If you think of Jesus and Advent, you kind of got all these five things working, don't you? Because I don't know anything better made than Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about his divinity. I'm talking, God comes and he's birthed as a child. That's the best thing God ever made right there. And, the issue of hand-me-down, again, there's the issue of legacy and of faith and of, obviously we're not talking about anything inferior, but we're talking about the gift of salvation. Because our life, it was whose first? It was Christ. And he handed it down to us so that we can know the Father. Now, secondhand, that would definitely be the gift of us back to the Father, because we're secondhand material, aren't we? We gave ourselves to an idol. We gave ourselves to sin. And Jesus purchased us and said, Father, I got the best secondhand gift you're ever going to get. And it's us, redeemed and renewed and obviously a new creation in Christ. Number four, helping hand. I can't think of anything that describes the Holy Spirit better than that, because he is with us at all times to watch over us, to give us the words to say, to guide us in the way we should go. And then, of course, hand in hand, that's our salvation, because one day we spend all eternity with him. And I want to encourage you that these things may seem super practical to you, but in the end, the power of the Holy Spirit can fill all those things and be what the Holy Spirit gives you to overshadow the lack of finances or the hardships of your life. And so I want to invite you just to stand with me as we finish up. And we're going to say a prayer together. Is there another slide there, Russ? Is there? If it's not, that's fine. It's okay. I'm going to ask you to take a moment to pray through these things. The promise to remember, a power to pray for. Who are the people that God wants you to be with and give to? And what are some real practical things that make this Advent really about relationship and about what's really the best gifts of all in our life? So would you take a moment and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and then I'm going to close this in prayer. Lord, I pray that each person here would remember the promise you've made, that life does not consist of the abundance of things. I pray that they would have the power of contentment in their life as they go through this season. I pray, Lord, that they would enjoy, heal, recover, restore, or rest in the relationships that you want them to have. And I pray, dear God, that they would have, Lord, just a joy about the giving that would come from you this season. And that because of that, there would be a new expression of Jesus in their life and the life of those around them. Father, I pray that salvation would first and foremost be the greatest gift in our hearts. As you're praying this morning, if you're here and you've never made that decision to accept the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, to repent of selfishness and self-centeredness and begin a new life in Him, letting His forgiveness cleanse you and His Holy Spirit fill you to live a new life. If you're here today and you need to make a new decision to begin a new relationship with Christ, that's the most important gift and relationship of this season. Is there anybody here, just by raising a hand, that I could join with in prayer this morning that needs to make that decision to come to Christ? Amen. Pray for that rededication. Lord, I pray that you would guard over our hearts, that we might truly live this Thanksgiving season and Advent season with the true joy and the focus of Jesus. May what we've said today lead us to moments with the Holy Spirit to guide what we do and how we live. We pray all these things now, following the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. God bless you as you go.